إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, yesterday our discussions were under the chapter heading Al-Mustabani Ma Qala Fa'al Al-Awwal, two parties in feud exchanging insults and abuse, trading insults and abuse amongst themselves, one Muslim abusing the other Muslim, the other Muslim replying to that insult. The two of them are mustaban. Ma qala fa'al al-awwal. The sin that comes from what the both of them say come upon the first person who started the insult and abuse. We explained in great details, inshallah, yesterday regarding how come does the person who started an insult begins to earn the rewards when both parties insult one another. And we explained when will the person replying, Mr. B was abused, insulted by A, and then he replies, when is it that A gets all the evil rewards of the insults from both parties? And when will it be that B himself, who had replied, he also begins to become the person at fault, the zalim, when he had been a mazloom, he had been someone against whom evil was directed? When will he, the one replying insult, when does he become the person who is now aggressive? And that's when his abuse becomes more than the first abuse that he was replying to. If he was replying to the first abuse with worse abuse, then the person replying, he gets the evil repercussions of the excess in his reply. We gave some explanations, inshallah, to all of these yesterday. We maintained that the best of it all is to ignore insult and abuse. The best of it all is to ignore insult and abuse. And we said to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, He has allowed us to reply within the limits of insult, but not replying. Allah says, فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever overlooks and then even does good, فَأَجْرُهُ, the reward for not replying insult, عَلَى اللَّهِ, Allah alone knows how much reward He will grant you when you are patient and you do not reply insult for insult. That's in addition to the fact that at the time that you are being insulted, the angels will be replying on your behalf when you are silent and you don't reply insult for insult. The angels will reply on your behalf. There was a question a brother sent to me yesterday, and I think it is very appropriate. How about when party A, brother A, or sister A, Ummu A, is abusing Ummu B, or brother B was being abused by brother A? One brother A is abusing the other brother B. Brother B was actually silent, but in his mind, he was returning the insults by himself. He could not reply verbally for whatever reasons, but in his mind, he was also insulting brother A in return. Has he returned the insult? I think what is most appropriate that we can say clearly here is that don't reply that insult even in your mind. Sometimes you are silent looking at the person, but inside your mind you are abusing him. don't reply insult in whatever form, whether verbally, openly, or secretly inside your mind. Don't reply, because if you reply inside you, it will come huwa fi jumlati al-jawab. It is still within what you can call a response. So what then should you engage your mind in? I say, firstly, you do as the Arabs say. What do? You behave as if you did not even hear the insult. You behave as if the person did not even insult you. كَأَنَّكَ لَمْ تَسْمَعْ وَلَمْ يَقُلْ. As if you didn't hear anything. As if he didn't even say anything. That is what you should do when you are silent towards a person insulting you. And when you do that, another thing you can do is ask Allah for protection against shaitan. You can make istiaza so that you do not become encapsulated in anger. Because when you try to hold back, it can brew anger. So you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. That will be beneficial. Unfortunately, sometimes the person insulting can also become coughing. It can begin to cough. It can begin to rain curses. You can begin to also make isti'adha. A'udhu bi kalimati Allahi ta'ama min sharri ma khalaq. Asking Allah's protection against the evil speech, against the evil statement, the insults he directs towards you. These ones are beneficial for us rather than replying insult for insult, whether verbally or inside our mind. Today, bismillah, our discussions will be about further emphasis on the evil of mutually insulting one another. Further emphasis, how our religion further emphasizes that two Muslims should not go on exchanging insults and abuse. It is very, very common now. Many Muslims, including people who ascribe to the Sunnah, they think that insult and abuse is part of the Sunnah. It's part of the Manhaj Salafi. No. When you mutually insult yourself, you are failing in that aspect of the Sunnah. The Sunnah has many aspects, like the Deen has many aspects. There are aspects of our Aqidah. There are aspects of our Ibadah. There are aspects of our Mu'amalatu. There are aspects of our Akhlaq and our Adab. And one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has really, really emphasized, as if to say he was not raised for any other thing except it, is our character and our manners. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, innama bu'istu, innama, as if to say, I was not raised for any other purpose. As if to say, oh, the only reason why I have been raised. And that only goes to emphasize how the Muslim must be careful about his character, his conduct, and his dealings with the people. So don't say, I'm Sunni, I'm Salafi. If you are Salafi, being a Salafi does not provide you the ticket to begin to insult and abuse people. You will be failing in your Salafiyah. You will be failing in that aspect of your Salafiyah. You will be failing in that aspect of your Salafiyah if what you do is to go about insulting people, going beyond limits when you have a disagreement with people. I remember one of the scholars of Islam, Affan ibn Muslim. Affan ibn Muslim was from amongst the A'imma, from the scholars of Hadith, from the scholars of Sunnah. Affan ibn Muslim, he was one of the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad. He has hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari and in other books of hadith. But he has an issue. What is that issue? When someone does something, he condemns that thing and that person beyond the limit of the fault. If a person has a fault, Affan ibn Muslim will express that fault and condemnation beyond the limit, beyond the extent of that fault. So what happened? The scholars used to reject his statements in Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. If he says this person is upright in his deen, or this person is not upright in his deen, his statements are not accepted. Why? He was known to go overboard when he criticizes the fault of a person. So meaning that you may be a great person of Sunnah, you may be a great person upon the manhaj of the companions, radiallahu anhu. Your aqidah may be sound, your ibadah may be sound, your mu'amalat may be good, but when you abuse people beyond the faults that they have, it can bring you down in that aspect of your religion. In that aspect of your deen, it will bring you down. In this aspect of your deen, it was a negative for Affan ibn Muslim, rahimahullah. He was known, yes, he's an imam. He was a scholar upon the sunnah from the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad. But when he makes a statement that this person has a fault like this, the scholars don't take it. Why? They say because he criticizes the people beyond the faults of the people. So don't be a Sunni, a person of Sunnah, a person of Salafiyah. And when you have to criticize someone, you criticize beyond the faults of the person. It is a fault in your own religion. Unfortunately, the young people think now that that is the religion in itself. Something that's a fault, young people now think that that is the religion in itself. So Islam condemns, forbids mutually insulting one another. That many young people now think that that is part of the religion. Two people of Sunnah, two young people upon the Sunnah, you see them begin to exchange insults and abuse. This is from the works of a shaitan. And that's what Al-Imam al-Bukhari has taught us here in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, under this chapter heading, Al-Mustaban Shaitanan Yatahataran wa Yatakazaban. Al-Mustaban, two Muslims abusing and insulting one another. Shaitanan, they are both shaitans. Two Muslims. One Muslim, you are stupid, you are foolish. The other one also tells him, you are stupid, you are foolish. These two abusing one another. Shaitanan. The two of them are shaitans. They are from shaitan. You know shaitan? The shaitan can be from amongst the jinns. The shaitan can be from amongst the human beings. So they will be from shayateenul ins at that time. Why? What they are doing, shaitan pushed them into it. So it's as if they follow him and they follow his instructions and they help him establish his rule. So what they are doing is satanic. So in that circumstance, for that reason, they are referred to as shaitanan. They are two satans. Yatahataran. They exchange al-hitru. Yatahataran. They exchange what? Al-hitr. What does al-hitr mean? Al-qabihu min al-kalam. Evil speech. Al-qabihu min al-kalam. Wal-radi'u minha. Evil speech. Bad speech. When two people insult one another, the two of them are satans. What do these satans do? Yatahataran. They exchange evil speech and evil statements. Wayatakazaban. Likewise, they will be exchanging lies against one another. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us. So you can see the great evil that is connected to Muslims insulting one another. These are things that we ignore these days. We don't count them as anything. Yet the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said two Muslims abusing one another are what? Shaitanan. Two satans. So you see fadila to sheikh, so, insulting. A person's error, a person who is upon the bid'ah, is upon innovations, can be chastised for being upon innovation, while also explaining his innovations. This is not what we are talking about. We are talking about two Muslims upon the Sunnah and Salafiyah now. Leave aside a person of Sunnah and a person of innovation. Two Muslims upon the Sunnah. Two Salafis. You see, mutual exchange of insults, mutual exchange of abuse. These people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are shaytanan. Yatahataran wa yatakazaban. They are two Satans. Each of them is a Satan in that circumstance. What do they do? Yatahataran. Because they exchange evil speech. And evil speech is from the deeds of the shaitan. Evil negative speech is from the deeds of shaitan. He makes you begin to exchange abuse and insults. He comes there, he enjoys it. So it's like those two Muslims exchanging insults and abuse are from, at that time, those who behave like a shaitan. They follow the shaitan. They help him establish what he likes. May Allah protect us. And from the things they do, apart from useless, negative, bad speech that they exchange, is that yatakazaban. They will be telling lies about one another. What the other person did not do, they will accuse him that he did it. What he did not say, they will accuse him that he said it. These kinds of things happen between two Satans amongst human beings. Why are they called Satans? They follow the way of shaitan in this matter and in that circumstance. So they behave like shaitan. They make shaitan enjoy himself. So his name came to be called, they came to be called by his name, by the name of the person who likes what they are doing, shaitan. May Allah protect us. The first hadith we read about this matter occurs in as hadith 427 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا عَمْرُ بْنُ مَرْزُوكَ قَالَ أَخْبَرَنَا إِمْرَانَ عن قتادة عن يزيد بن عبد الله بن الشخير عن عياد بن حمار قال قلت يا رسول الله الرجل يسبني قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المستابان شيطانان يتهاتران ويتكاذبان الله المستعان. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports this hadith from his Shaykh Amr ibn Marzuk. Amr ibn Marzuk, that is Abu Uthman al-Bahili. Amr ibn Marzuk, that is Abu Uthman al-Bahili, rahimahullah, the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He is reporting from his own Shaykh Imran, Abu al-Awam al-Qattan. So he is popularly called Imran Al-Qattan. That is the Shaykh of Amr ibn Marzuk in this hadith, Imran Al-Qattan. And he reported this hadith from Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi. So he said, An Qatada, rahimahumullah. And Qatada is reporting from Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Shikhir. Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Shikhir. Abdullah ibn al-Shikhir was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he has a child, Yazid. This Yazid, he is called Abu al-Ala al-Basri. Yazid, he is Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn al-Shikhir. His father, Abdullah ibn Shakhir, was a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in this hadith, we have a tabi'i, but we have two amongst the tabi'un. We have two companions. The first tabi'i in this isnad is who? Qatada ibn Di'ama al-Sadusi. The second tabi'i in this isnad is who? يزيد بن عبد الله ابن الشخير رحمهم الله. And we have two companions in this hadith. The first companion is who? Abdullah ibn al-Shakhir. Abdullah ibn al-Shakhir. Who is the father of Yazid. But he is not reporting. He's only mentioned in it as the father of who? Yazid. And then we have Iyad ibn al-Himar. Iyad ibn al-Himar. Al-Mujashi'i. Iyad ibn al-Himar. Al-Mujashi'i. He was a well-known noble person, even during the time of Shirk. Iyad was a very respected person amongst the Arabs. Iyad ibn al-Himar. He said, and apparently, this event between himself and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam occurred before he accepted Islam. Allahu alam. It appears, as we shall still come to understand, that this incident between Iyad ibn Himar and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam occurred even before Iyad accepted Islam. So Iyad came and said, Qultu ya Rasulallah. He said, I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ar-Rajlu yasubbuni. An individual will abuse me. An individual will insult me. An individual will begin to say evil words and direct them to me. Yasub, asab. We have said that asabu is everything you say to bring down somebody, whether that thing is from him or that thing is not from him. If it is not from him, then it is called ashatmu. If it is with him or not, it is called what? Asabu. So the word asabu is wider in its meaning than what? Than ashatmu. So he said asabu, he used sab. Says ar-rajlu yasubbuni. An individual will begin to abuse me and insult me and all that. Qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That statement of Iyad was a statement with which he was asking the Prophet, if somebody begins to abuse me, what should I do? Qala an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered Iyad ibn Himar al-Mujashi'i. He said, Al-Mustaban Shaytanan. Is a clear-cut statement from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Two people abusing and insulting themselves. Shaytanan. They are two Satans. Yatahataran. They exchange evil speech. Yatahataran. They exchange bad words. Vulgar expressions. The one who writes it or speak it has the same ruling. Sometimes people can begin to say, we didn't speak it, but you are writing it. So when you exchange vulgar expressions with your brother in an insult and an abuse, that is being a shaitan. Why? That deed you are doing is the work of shaitan. And that deed you are doing, it makes the shaitan happy. It brings his rule. He's happy. Yes. It makes him feel that you are following him. So that makes us, it made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ascribe you to him. May Allah protect us. How does a Muslim begin to behave in such a way that we can call him shaitan? How does a Muslim begin to behave such a way we can say, shaitan, you are a shaitan. You are a shaitan. So one of the things people do that can make them be ascribed to that word shaitan is what? Mutual abuse. So when a husband and a wife begin to abuse themselves, they are what? Shaitanan. Yatahataran. Yatahataran, you will hear what the wife will be telling the husband. Very negative things that will make him feel really, really uncomfortable. What will you hear the man to say about the wife? Very, very bad negative things that will make the woman feel uncomfortable. So when there is this mutual exchange at home, what are they doing? They are being shaitan. Yatahataran. they are exchanging evil speech amongst themselves. Wayatakazaban. And then they will be lying. The wife will lie. Oh, you stupid idiot. You've never been useful to us in the house. That house where she said the man had never been useful. The rent of the house was paid by that man. And here she comes to say the man was useless. He'd never been useful. The food she ate in the night before the morning when she was abusing the man that he was useless. The man provided the food. That cloth that she was wearing, the hijab or jilbab she was wearing, at the time that he was insulting the man and saying that he was useless, it was purchased for her by the man. The bed on which she slept till the next morning, when she woke up to abuse that man that he is irresponsible, that bed was provided by the husband. So you see how she'll be telling lies. He attacked it, she'll be lying to say that her husband was useless and irresponsible. And then the man too will say that she was useless and irresponsible, foolish, idiot, and on so on. This was a woman you had a relationship with overnight. She is useless, yet you could satisfy yourself with her before the next morning. She was useful to you. This was the same woman who had children for you. You say she's useless. She has children for you. How can she be useless if she had had children for you? Having children for you is usefulness. She carried your children, breastfed them. So for the sake of Allah, mutual insults will make you tell lies. There's no way you tell lies. If you tell lies, you'll be exchanging very bad negative comments. So if it happens between a man and a wife, that is what you will see. If it happens between two brothers, the same thing you will see. You see two brothers, they'll be saying, Yata hataran. They'll be exchanging very negative comments to themselves. Wayata kazaban. And they'll be lying. So when they do that, what are they? Shaitanan. They are two Satans. May Allah protect us. Two Satans. Two Shaitan. I think this hadith 427 is very clear. And we all, if nothing will make you avoid exchange of insult, I think this one is enough. You know that when you begin to exchange insult and abuse, you become what? You become a shaitan. May Allah protect us. In hadith 428, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا أحمد قال حدثنا أبي قال حدثني إبراهيم عن حجاج بن الحجاج عن حجاج ابن حجاج عن قتادة عن يزيد بن عبد الله عن عياد بن حمار قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله أوحى إلي أن تواضعوا حتى لا يبغي أحد على أحد إن الله أوحى إلي أن تواضعوا حتى لا يبغي أحد على أحد ولا يفخر أحد على أحد فقلت يا رسول الله أرأيت لو أن رجلا سبني في ملأ هم أنقص مني فرددت عليه أهل علي في ذلك جناح؟ قال عليه الصلاة والسلام المستبان شيطانان يتهاتران ويتكاذبان. الإمام البخاري mentioned a fuller report of the hadith we had read in 427. And he mentions it with another chain of reports. That's one of the things you benefit when Al-Imam Al-Bukhari repeats a report. He repeats that report either with another chain of reports so that it is clear to us that it is a widely reported narration. Or that if there's a weakness in the chain of report of an earlier one, he brings another one that will strengthen it. Or that if there is a narration, a story that will help us understand what was reported, he repeated it and mentioned that story that will help our understanding. Here is reporting from his Sheikh Ahmad ibn Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulami, Ahmad ibn Hafs. The last report, he reported it from Amr ibn Marzuk. This report, it is from Ahmad ibn Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulami. So he said, Haddafana Ahmad. And this Sheikh Ahmad was reporting from his father, Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulami. Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulami is the father of who? Ahmad. This statement, Ahmad, if you want to know which of the Ahmadun, which of those who were named Ahmad from amongst the teachers of Al-Bukhari reported this hadith, you have to do some work. It took me some time to actually find out which one amongst the Ahmad from the teachers of Bukhari who bear that word Ahmad, which of them was the one being mentioned here, until he said, Haddathana Abi. So which of them from the Ahmadun has a father from whom he reports? He has a father. The father was a scholar of hadith, and he reports from his father. You find that this is Ahmad ibn Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulam. And the father is who? Hafs ibn Abdullah al-Sulami, rahimahumullah. So his father is reporting from Ibrahim ibn Tuhman. Ibrahim ibn Tuhman al-Khurasan, who is reporting from Hajjaj ibn Hajjaj. You see a point of benefit here. This is Hajjaj ibn Hajjaj. I've always ever repeated it. The early Muslims, if a man was Abdurrahman, he could name his child to what? Abdurrahman. So that the child begins to be called what? Abdurrahman ibn Man, ibn Abdurrahman. And that also happened even amongst the companions. There was Aus ibn Ausko, and Abdullah ibn Umar had a son whose name was what? Abdullah. So if your name is Ibrahim, you can name your son Ibrahim. If your name is Abdul Fattah, you can name your son Abdul Fattah. It used to be done amongst the Muslims since the early times. So here Hajjaj ibn Hajjaj is reporting from Qatada ibn Di'amar al-Sadusi, who is reporting from Yazid ibn Abdullah. As we mentioned in the previous isnad, Yazid ibn Abdullah is who? Yazid ibn Abdullah ibn Man, ibn al-Shakhir. And Abdullah ibn al-Shakhir was a companion, radiallahu anhu. So Yazid ibn Abdullah, as with the last isnad 427, Yazid is reporting from Iyad ibn Himar. Iyad ibn Himar was a Muslim. He was a mushrik, then he accepted Islam, and he died upon Islam. Before even he became a Muslim, he was a well-known, noble person amongst the mushrikun. So he used to come, he used to talk to the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam, and so on. We'll come back to that, inshallah, in 428. So Iyad ibn Himar said that, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Inna Allah awha ilayya an tawadu. Inna Allah awha ilayya an tawadu. Allah has revealed it to me. That's what? An tawadu. That you Muslims, all of you should be humble. And yesterday we explained at tawadu. At-tawadu has many aspects. Humility, humbleness. From that is following rules and instructions. When you are a humble person, you will follow rules and instructions. Even traffic rules, you will not fail them. You humble yourself to follow simple rules and instructions. It's from the aspects of humility. From the aspects of humility is that you recognize the truth and you accept it. So these two things, their opposites are what? Arrogance. You see a traffic rule, you reject it, this arrogance. Or you recognize the truth and then you reject it, this arrogance. It's from the aspects of arrogance. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna Allah awha ilayya an tawadu. Allah revealed to me that you all should be humble towards one another. Hatta la yabghiya ahadun ala ahadin, so that no one would make al-baghy, no one will aggress against the other. Ah, so one of the things that causes aggression is what? Arrogance. One of the things that causes oppression is what? Arrogance. Like the oppression of Fir'aun. Fir'aun saw himself superior to Bani Israel, so he could oppress them. So each time a man feels a sense of superiority over others, what is he likely to do? He's likely to oppress them. Those of you who employ drivers, those of you who employ gate men, this is the kind of sickness many people have. Many have, many. You think that you can talk. Talk to the gate man. You can talk to your, you feel that you are superior to him. After all, you are paying his salary. You are providing him his food. Yes, Allah has placed you like that. And he said, وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. Allah said, we raised some people over others. Well, your being raised over him should not be a reason to oppress him. And you start oppressing him when you start feeling to exercise that superiority, then aggression comes in, oppression comes in, wrongdoing comes in, arrogance comes in. You hardly accept anything from him. When he says something, you abuse him, you insult him. Even when he's right, your expressions show that you are arrogant towards him. Let us be humble. Hatta la yabghiya ahadun ala ahadin, to such an extent, and so that no one amongst we Muslims begin to oppress the other Muslims. Wa la yafkhara ahadun ala ahad, la yafkhara, hatta la yafkhara ahadun ala ahad, so that no one begins to make al-fakhr over others. Al-fakhr, he begins to claim a sense of superiority. He's self-amazed towards them. He raises his shoulders. Don't do that. When we're younger than this, they say, remove your shoulder pads. This was the same advice that Luqman gave to his son. Abi, Luqman in Surah Luqman gave the same advice to his son. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرْحًا لَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Don't turn your cheek away from people. When you snub people, it is from the aspects of arrogance. Some people are happy to snub others. They say, give him, snub him. Snub him. No. You can walk away honorably without snubbing. When the talks become so indecent. When the talks become indecent, you can keep quiet. Stop talking. This talk is now indecent. And when you stop talking, you'll be making this tihaza, so that you don't brew anger as you are silent. You seek protection from Allah against shaitan. So when the people become arrogant towards us, we should be silent too. May Allah protect us. So, hatta la yafkhara ahadun ala ahadin, so that no one begins to claim a sense of superiority over others. Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah, the grandfather of Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, if you're a noble person, you don't need to start to affirm, hey, I'm a noble person, so you should respect me. See, that itself makes you go away from the sense of nobility. May Allah protect us. La yafkhara ahadun ala ahad, hatta la yafkhara. So that no one begins to make al-fakhr, feeling a sense of superiority over others. He's self-amazed. You are the one that's intelligent. You are the one that is brilliant. You are the one that is rich. You are the one that is knowledgeable. You are the one that is guided. you are the one, you begin to feel a sense of superiority over others. This is not lawful in Islam. So when the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, Iyad ibn Himar said, Fakulti ya Rasulallah. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ara'aita law anna rajulan sabbani fi mala'in hum anqusu minni. Ara'ait, what would you suggest? Law anna rajulan sabbani. If it happens that, anna rajulan sabbani, an individual begins to insult me and abuse me, fi mala'in, in a gathering, hum anqusu minni. They are perhaps younger than me. I'm older in my age. Perhaps he is a president and the people begin to insult him, governor, secretary. These people are under him. They are under their leaders. But he begins to insult me in a gathering. This is very common. Even amongst people who ascribe to the Sunnah of Ibnillah and who are upon the Sunnah. You see, in a gathering, when you have 3, 4, 5 students of knowledge, when I say students of knowledge, I mean really, really students who are active students of knowledge, learning Islam and teaching it. So one of them will make a statement to abuse the other one makes a statement. They begin to abuse one another. It may be directly and it may be through innuendos. So if it happens that the one who started this abuse abuses you in a gathering, Iyad ibn Himar was asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me, what should I do? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Iyad ibn Himar asked him, so if faradattu alayhi, he abused me in that gathering, perhaps there are people that I'm older than in that gathering, faradattu alayhi, and I begin to reply him, hal alayya fi dhalika junahun. Do I have a sin? Have I sinned? Have I sinned? Have I committed a sin? Don't forget that we said, وَلَا مَنْ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ظُلْمِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. If you reply just exactly what was said to you, you don't have a problem. Just exactly what was said, that was the reply. But this is something better that the Prophet was inviting him to. So when he asked that question, he abused me publicly. You think I should keep quiet? I will not keep quiet. I will abuse him back publicly. The Prophet then said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mustaban shaytanan yatahatarani wa yatakazaban. Al-mustaban. Two people who begin to insult and abuse one another publicly. They are what? Two Satans. Because if you reply publicly, he's most likely to reply again. Then the insult continues. So it continues. So why not allow him? Al-mustaban shaytanan. Two people who are mutually abusing themselves are two Satans. What makes them Satans? Yatahataran. They exchange al-hitru. They exchange evil speech. They exchange vulgar expressions. They exchange obscene words against themselves. You will hear very bad things when you listen to people, two of them insulting and abusing one another. It comes very, very bad. It can come from someone you consider to be a scholar. You see, he has insulted me, I will insult him back, and then you start hearing negative things. May Allah protect us. This is from the way of shaitan. Al-mustaban shaitanan. Two people abusing themselves and insulting themselves. They are shaitans. What makes them shaitan? Yatahataran. They'll be directing obscenity and vulgarity against one another. Wayatakazaban. And in that, they'll be lying. They'll be telling lies against one another. In fact, people will say about themselves things that they themselves will become ashamed when they heard what they say tomorrow. So I said that, subhanAllah. They will be ashamed of themselves. If after that incident, they were told what they said, look, you said this, he said this. He said, I said that. And the reason he would not know the weightiness of what he was saying was because he was under the influence of Shaitan. And that's why we say the two of them are Satans. So it means no, there is no very reasonable person amongst the Muslims who wants to maintain his place, who will begin to engage people in insult and abuse. You will never do it because you don't want to become a shaitan. Unfortunately, the social media has made insult and abuse to be as if it is normal. It is normal. People begin to abuse, and many young people too, and many of our brothers who have private TV stations on YouTube, they help these things. Brothers who have private TV stations, fear Allah. Why? You help spread this evil. So you will have a share from it on the day of Qiyamah. Our brothers who have private TV stations on YouTube, who help to spread abuse and insult amongst Muslims, you will have a share on it on the day of Qiyamah. Just prepare for it. If it is money you are making from YouTube, that money will be a means of regret for you on the day of Qiyamah. Why? You help spread evil. You help spread mutual insult and abuse amongst Muslims. Wait for your judgment on the day of Qiyamah. Allah alone knows what he will do with you. May Allah protect us. The last narration in this chapter heading, and I think we should quickly read it. We still have about few minutes to go. That is 428 by my own numbering. In some texts, it is not numbered separately, but in some others, it is numbered separately. In my own text, this copy of Maktabatul Hadi al-Muhammadi, it is numbered separately. In the text of Darus Siddiq al-Nashr, with the tahqiq of Sheikh Isam Musa Hadi, it is numbered separately. And the copy that I worked upon in, published by the Da'awah Corner, it is numbered separately. In the copy of Sheikh Abdullah Al-Sa'idi, it is not numbered separately. It comes under the previous number. If you have the copy of Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sa'd, you see it is not numbered separately. What we want to read now, or in all other copies that I have mentioned, it occurs separately. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Qala Iyad, Iyad ibn Himar, that companion who had been asking advice from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a point of benefit I like to mention before I read this. You see that Iyad was asking advice from the Prophet Abi. He was not throwing away that advice. He asked it so that he can use it. Many times when brothers ask you for advice, as you ask, giving them the advice, you say, you mean that when she's insulting me, I should keep quiet? Yeah, is that what you are telling me? Because you are just asking for the sake of asking. Sometimes people even ask the teachers questions. You'll be imagining that, do you just want to make me talk? Because the truth is clear. But they'll be asking because they just want you to talk. They just want you to say something that will satisfy their desires. So they'll be asking, you mean if he's abusing my father and my mother, I should keep quiet? You mean if he's doing this, I should keep quiet? You mean if he's cursing me too, I should keep quiet? Because they want you to change the ruling, so that you can tell them, abuse him back. But as for Iyad ibn Himar, he asked the Prophet a simple question. He got a simple answer. He was not going to find a way to make that answer to follow his own desires, like many of our brothers do today. So that's a point of benefit that we should take. As he sought the advice from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he got the advice. He was ready to follow the advice. Iyad said, Wakuntu harban. This is harban. This kalima harban. The scholars say it is not harban, that it is hirmiyun. He was Hirmi. Iyad ibn Himar was what? Hirmi. And that statement that it is Hirmi occurs in Fadlullah al-Samad by al-Imam al-Hafiz, yes, al-Jilani, Fadlullah al-Jilani, who did the sharh of al-Adab al-Mufrad. He said it is Hirmijun. What does Hirmijun? That word, harb, that ba'un, it should be meme. So what does Hirmi mean? The Hirmi, the Arabs have a culture before Islam. If you have a friend in Haram, you are not living in Haram. If you have a friend in Haram, in Mecca, you want to come and make pilgrimage, that's your friend. He is the one who will give you every food you will eat till you leave. You not buy food with your money. Why? Is your Hirmi, your friend at Haram. The cloth with which you will make tawaf, he is the one who will provide it to you. They see it as a way of honoring their friends who come from outside the Haram. Some Arabs still do it today. They provide you food, they provide you everything. They say, don't worry, once you come in here, anything you want to eat, I'll give you. So the Arabs have that culture. And it was there before the Prophet came, alayhi salatu salam. And it was a good thing, so they continued upon it. So it was Hirmi. He was Hirmi to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone who loved the Prophet, who used to respect him, who honored him. So he expected that when the Prophet came, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was going to provide him food and clothing when the Prophet came to Haram. He says, وَكُنْتُ حِرْمِيٌ لِي وَكُنْتُ حِرْمِيًا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I was Hirmi of the Prophet. What does that mean? I was a man who, whenever the Prophet would come to Haram, what would he do? I will give him food, I will give him clothing, I will, do you understand? So he said, فَأَهَدَيْتُ إِلَيْهِ نَاقَةً. So I provided the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a she-camel as a gift, naqa, she-camel. He gave the Prophet a she-camel as a gift, so that when he came, he would ride on the she-camel throughout his journey, in Haram and all that. Qabla an aslama. And that happened before he became a Muslim. So he said, فَأَهَدَيْتُ إِلَيْهِ نَاقَةً قَبْلَ أَنْ أُسْلِمَ. I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I became a Muslim, I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a she-camel so that he can ride. فَلَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا. But the Prophet rejected it. لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا. He did not accept it. وقال, the Prophet then said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, إني أكره زبد المشركين. إني أكره زبد المشركين. I dislike the gifts of the polytheists. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, I dislike the gifts of the polytheists. Polytheists, give him something. I don't want to take it. I don't want to take that gift from politics. In some report, it said, Nuhit, I have been prohibited from accepting Zabad al-Mushrikin, the gifts of polytheists. Now, polytheists are different from Ahlul Kitab in many rulings in Islam. Polytheists. You can't marry a polytheist woman. Allah told us that clearly in Al-Baqarah. You can't marry mushrikat hatta yu'minna, until she accepts Islam. But a Muslim can marry a Christian or a Jew, even though we say be careful about that so that you don't fall into troubles. So, but the rulings between these two are different. Mushrikun, when they slaughter, they call the names of Shango and others. Ma uhilla li ghayrillahi bihi. So we are prohibited from eating what they slaughter, because of what they do. And as for the non-Muslims, the Jews and the Christians, their food is allowed for us, unless we are certain too that they call the name of Jesus, they to fall under Ma'ohilalilahi. So I'm just trying to say that the rulings in the dealings between a Muslim and a Jew or a Christian is different between the rulings between a Muslim and a Mushrik. One of the differences is rejecting the gifts of Mushrikun. One of the differences is that we reject the gifts of a Mushrik. So someone who is a Shango worshiper, idolater, this person worships idol. If he gives you a gift, reject it. Reject it. But if it were a Christian or a Jew, you accept it. So some of the scholars say the reasons why the Prophet now rejected it, alayhi salatu wasalam, why that happened was that you feel pained. You feel pained, and I like the Prophet, and now he's rejecting my gift. So that pain will make him accept Islam. The pain that, the Prophet, I like him, and he's rejecting my gift. So, okay, let me accept Islam so that at least I can come back closer to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the ulama say, this is one wisdom behind that rejection. Some say, no, the rejection is because your mind becomes attached to someone when you accept gifts from them. When you accept gifts from people, you gradually become inclined towards them. So they say, no. So when you accept gifts from Mushrikun, polytheists, your mind becomes attached. The vehemence the Muslim should have against shirk begins to come down because he's accepting gifts from them. So these are the explanations that have been given behind the wisdom of rejecting the gifts of Mushrikun. As for Ahlul Kitab, the Quran makes us understand that they have an exception. We can accept their gifts. Some say that the Prophet rejected his gift, alayhi salatu wasalam, because it came with demean, insult. So if a gift was coming to you and it came with insult, you can reject that gift. Someone wants to give you a gift and then insult is attached to that gift. You can reject the gift by way of setting aside that insult. So the Prophet rejected the gift of Iyad ibn Himar. At that time, Iyad was what? Was a mushrik. So, but this is just a completion of the narration of what happened between Iyad and who? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. What is the main lesson here? The main lesson here was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Iyad ibn Himar not to reply insult and abuse, even if it be in the public. The lesson the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Iyad is that don't reply abuse, even if it be in the public. And when it's now, in fact, even when it be that the people who are in that gathering are lower than you in age or in rank or in status, don't reply. That was the advice the Prophet gave to Iyad, and of course to the rest of us. Avoid replying abuse, even if that abuse was public. Because if you reply that abuse in public, if the person said 1, 2, 3 to you, if you say 1, 2, 3, 4, you have gone overboard. If the person said 1, 2, 3 to you, and you say 1, 2, 3 to him, and then he says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to you, and you say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to him, you see that it continues like that, and shaitan takes place. When that happens, tatahataran, the two of you will be exchanging what? Al-hitr. Wa tatakazaban. And the two of you will be telling lies. So you become what? Shaitanan. May Allah protect us from this evil act. I think that it will suffice for us as a class today. And the major lesson is for us to avoid insults, exchange of insults and abuse. Avoid abuse, avoid insults between yourself and people. And that, unfortunately, is what people enjoy on the social media today. May Allah protect all of us and forgive all of us. These reminders are to make us recollect and readjust as we discuss it, each person will be knowing where his own fault lies or her own faults. We all should address ourselves. فَإِنَّا أَذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Reminders will benefit the people of Iman. Each of us will begin to work upon ourselves to adjust our lifestyles. May Allah protect each and every one of us. Abu Abdurrahman, I don't know who is coordinating. Abu Abdurrahman. عبد الرحمن.
نعم يا شيخنا. السلام عليكم.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
نعم. السلام عليكم.
نعم إياكم.
نعم. There is a question here. The question says, I know of a case where a wife's siblings have a grudge with that brother-in-law, saying he doesn't call them. The brother tries to call Hans in a while, but it is unsuccessful. As matter gets overflowed, the brother says they won't call him too. Hans in a while, the brother tries to get. The question is not clear.
Okay.
Let me read another one, sir.
Okay. Can we say something about that, about the Rahman?
Sometimes
in-laws say that. They say their in-laws, the husband of their daughter, is not calling them and all that. They too can call him. The seeking good relationship is mutual. You want a good relationship with your son-in-law. If he doesn't call you, you can call him too. How are you? How is your husband? How is your wife? The messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to ask Fatima, how is home? What are you doing? How is your... He would go to their house. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to wake up Ali ibn Abi Talib for Qiyamul Layl. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is not just for Ali to be nice to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. It is also for the Prophet to be nice to Ali as a father-in-law. So if you don't hear him call you, you can call him too. Ask for you, how are you doing? How are you coping? How are you able to provide for this economy? How is it? I hope you are coping. Fathers-in-law too can do that to their son-in-law. And the son-in-law too should not think it is not necessary. It is good. It's not wrong at all. More so, if the father-in-law too is a supportive and positive person. Some fathers-in-law are troublemakers with their in-laws. All they want is to make trouble with the young boys. They want to fight them. They want to make a quarrel. They want to abuse them. If fathers-in-law become like this, it will make your son-in-law to avoid you. Even when he remembers to call you, he will not call you. If you are making trouble with the husband of your daughter, if you make trouble with the husband of your daughter, he'll be avoiding you. Some men are like that. Some fathers are like that. As if to say that the daughter he gave to you in marriage, you are taking care of his daughter. So he should honor you. He should respect you. He should see you as somebody to take care of. Why? His good relationship with you will spill over to his daughter. And this is where many, many of the times the Hausas are doing very well than the Yorubas in this aspect. I am not saying that one tribe is better than the other. I am saying what I have experienced. Many times people come to say, are you now abusing Yorubas? It is not about that. We are all Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to mention the Ansar and what they did that was good. He will also mention Muhajirun, what they did that was good. So to say a particular tribe does something well does not mean demean for any other tribe. Most times, Hausas take care of their in-laws. They take care of him. They want to talk to him. They want to create a good relationship with him. And most times we Yorubas, we like to oppress and harass our in-laws. This is not appropriate. It's not appropriate for us for the sake of Allah. Islam that connects all of us wants us to be fair and humble towards ourselves. So if you feel that it's been a while since you heard from your son-in-law, you can call him. How are you? I've not heard from you for some time. I hope you are doing well. I hope you, sir. Then you tell, thank you very much, sir. Thank you, sir. He will appreciate your calling him. So don't be a troublesome in-law to your son-in-law. He will be avoiding you. And you then be complaining that he's not calling you. When he calls you, you bring him trouble. So how then will he call you again? So for the sake of Allah, likewise, the younger brothers too, don't set aside your in-laws because they have a child they gave to you in marriage. So then set them aside. Once you find time, call them, ask of them how they are, how they do, relate with them, and seek means of being nice to them. I think it's the matter is on both sides. The same thing the brothers and other relatives of your wives. Make sure, try to keep a good relationship with them as much as is possible. More so when they are not troublesome people. Some in-laws, I tell you this, they are very, very troublesome. They want to give you problem every day. We all should change for the better. What do you benefit giving your son-in-law trouble? What do you gain from it? And what do you gain as a son-in-law when you become disrespectful to your father-in-law? So for the sake of Allah, kunu ibadallahi ikhwana. All of us, O servants of Allah, let us be brothers. Let us connect ourselves. Let us relate with ourselves, overlook, and then respect ourselves and not show arrogance to ourselves. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had advised Iyad ibn Himar. Abu Abdurrahman, can we take one more question?
Naam, ya Shaykhana, there is a similar question that keep on repeating.
Okay.
The long question, the questioner say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, jazakumullahu khairan to our ustaz for the good work he is doing, and may Allah reward him and his team abundantly. My mother-in-law is causing a lot of problems in my marriage. Allah knows she just picks on nothing to cause problems. Mm-hmm. And is always scared of offending her. She is a serious manipulator who just fabricates things from nowhere to cause problems. Once she starts a problem and her son is still talking to him, she will find means of how to manipulate him to cause problems between us, and he will start fighting me. When I tell them, I leave them to Allah, anything she accuses me of, what I didn't do, she will say I'm swearing for her. This is causing problems in our marriage, and it is affecting my mental health. My husband can stay away, can stay weeks, even months, without talking to me. She now said, please advise me.
The advice I give to you, oh sister, is to be patient. As we spoke earlier about the father-in-law, mother-in-law, with respect to the man, the same thing applies. The mother-in-law, the father-in-law, with respect to the wife. Fathers-in-law and mothers-in-law should fear Allah regarding the daughter of another person you have in your house. That girl is the daughter of another man. You went with Gele and other things to ask that you want to marry her. You brought her to her house, to your house. Now you begin to find faults with her. For the sake of Allah, let us adjust this. It's very, very common. Sometimes mothers-in-law spoil the marriage between a man and his wife, the mother of the husband. She's the one who will be finding faults in the wife, the mother of the husband. She is the one who will be finding fault with the wife of the son and painting the girl black to the husband. For the sake of Allah, we all should stop this. The man, to the husband, should come in to protect his wife. by helping her. Because if the wife wants to help herself, she will get worse in the relationship with the mother-in-law. Husbands should come in this circumstance to help their wives, protect their wives, protect her honor. After all, you are the one who married her. So place your wife, make your wife, place her in the place of a wife, and place your mother in the place of a mother. Some men treat their mothers and their wives like first and second wives. And this is not appropriate. The mother is a mother. She should be in the position of a mother. The wife is a wife. She should be in the position of a wife. Some mothers even want to know the days that their son has something to do with his wife. These things are bad and untoward, particularly as Muslims. We all should adjust for the sake of Allah and do what is right towards ourselves. I like to end with this, that sometimes mothers-in-law could be very, very, very negative in their attitudes, and they'll spoil the marriage between the man, their son, and the daughter. During the last Hajj, the very last Hajj, last year, the very, very last Hajj, we observed, a woman was making dua at Arafah. I heard her saying it. I was not told. She was saying that, oh Allah, the husband of her daughter, her own daughter is the wife, the husband of her daughter, may Allah not make him be able to marry a second wife. May Allah not make him be able to do it. May Allah not make him. So the other woman, who is her friend, started telling her, would you allow that to be said regarding your own son? If it were your son, someone was praying, oh Allah, your son, may Allah not make him be able to take a second wife. How do you feel? She said, I won't accept it. She said, why are you now saying that regarding another man's son, regarding your daughter? She now said, everybody should ask for what they want from Allah. From the things we should not ask for from Allah are things of sin. It's a sin to ask for a thing of sin from Allah. It's a sin. Don't ask Allah for a sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited you to ask for Allah to break family relationship. Don't ask Allah for a sin. So it is not appropriate to ask for wrong things. So he's asking, may Allah not make whatever we make him be able to take a second wife. May Allah not allow.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, I think it will be better we call it a day here. I think it's a network issue from Sheikh or something. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.